I think we need to also recognize Denise and the Sunday school teachers who work with that, and all the work that they put into that, because believe me, handling that little group of children up here is not an easy task. Let's give them a we do want to, just before I get carried away, I just want to say, following, you have cookies out in the foyer for you to have, so we'd like to stay and fellowship a little bit. Also, we have candy bags for all the children that are here, and not just the children who are in the program, just for all the children who are here. And Jim Newley, we have classified children as under junior high. But if there's enough for the younger ones, then maybe some of the older ones can get some candy, except for those who are ringing their little bells over here in the corner. So, oh man, I haven't sat with the high schoolers in a long time. I don't want to ever do that again. So, anyway, I don't know why I sit on that side of the church. They were quiet. So, anyway, you know, thank you, children, for doing the Christmas story. It was great. And telling us all about things. But, you know, I was thinking about the Christmas story. And I'm just, you know, how strange the Christmas story must seem to people. You know, I've heard it for years. You know, I grew up in a Christian home, and believe me, I was in the pageant up here. And if you think Jace is active, you haven't seen anything yet until, just luckily, when I was around, they didn't have video cameras. And they couldn't take pictures of me because I didn't stand still long enough to have a picture taken of me. So anyway, you know, I've heard this story for years and years and years and years. And to me, it's just like, yeah, that's the Christmas story. But think about someone who doesn't know it well, or hasn't been raised in the tradition that I have been raised in. You know, it's a strange little story. Why is it that God did things the way God had done things? And so what I'm going to do this morning, it's going to be simple, and it's going to be short, so just rest assured in that fact. I'm going to read through the Christmas story. And we're going to stop, and we're going to look at some of the whys of the Christmas story. And so if you have your Bible, or if you just want to follow it on the screen, turn to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. And I'm not going to cover every little detail of this. I'm just going to ask the big whys of this story. Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 1. It says, "Now in those days a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census be taken of all the inhabitants of earth. This was the first census taken while Quirinius," or I never can say that name, "was governor of Syria. And everyone was on his way to register for the census, each to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth to Judah, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the family of David, in order to register along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was with child. While they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son. And she wrapped him in cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn." Wow. Now, we're talking about the Son of God. We're talking about the Messiah. We're talking about Emmanuel, God with us. So why all these obscure people involved in this? First of all, why Joseph and Mary? Joseph, his claim to fame is he's a carpenter. He works with his hands. He makes things out of wood. No one knew who Joseph was. And there's Mary. Mary was a kid. You know, she was probably the same age as some of our high school kids here. Maybe a little older. We really don't know, but she could have been as young as 14. And she could have been as old as, you know, probably 20, but I doubt much older than that. So why Joseph and Mary? Well, one of the things that that is important to know that Joseph and Mary are really a fulfillment of prophecy. Because the Emmanuel, or a Messiah that was coming to earth, was supposed to come and come through the line of David, King David. And it's important to know that Joseph and Mary both are in the line of David. And so this King of the Jews that is to be born is to come out of the lineage of King David. And so that is kind of the why of what is coming down. And we see that promise coming through in 2 Samuel 7, verses 12 and 13. When this is what the Lord says to David. It says, "When your days are completed, you will lie down with your fathers, and I will raise up your descendants after you, who will come forth from you, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever." Now, this is kind of a dual prophecy here. It's talking about Solomon, of course, David's son, but it's also talking about the one who is to come, because Solomon did not reign forever. But Jesus did. And so this is a kind of a twofold prophecy here for David. And then again in 2 Samuel 7, 16, it says, "Your house and your kingdom shall endure before me forever. Your throne shall be established forever." Now, no king has lived forever. No king has lived forever. But the Son of God, the Messiah, is going to live forever. Yes, he was put to death on a cross because of our sins, not his. But he rose again on the third day. Yes, I know that's Easter and that's coming, and you'll hear that sermon a little bit later. But he is on the throne and he will rule forever and ever. And so that was the promise made to David. And so Jesus had to be born of the lineage of David. So is Joseph and Mary. Now, maybe you think, well, couldn't he have found someone a little bit more prominent in the community from David's family? These are the ones that God chose to do this. And then again, I mentioned too that Mary was a teenager and she was just engaged to Joseph. They were not married. And back in those days, when you were engaged to someone, it isn't like people are doing it today and they have relationships with each other before that. They didn't in those days. And the engagement period was for about a year long. And during that time, there was no physical relationship between the bride and groom. And that is important in this case because Jesus was born of a virgin. And again, that's prophecy. That's prophecy in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. It says, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin will be with child and bear a son, and she will call him Emmanuel." We heard that name already today as we sang it in praises. So why Mary and Joseph? Well, for one thing, they were to fulfill prophecy. They were fulfilled prophecy. And also there's another thing in here too, is God throughout history has used common, everyday, ordinary people to fulfill his will and to fulfill his purpose. There's nothing special about Joseph and Mary other than that they were willing to do what God wanted them to do. You know, that's a great message for us today. God wants to use everyday, ordinary people to fulfill his purpose. And I can't think of anyone, as I look out at this audience, that looks more common and ordinary than you folks. That's not a, I suppose there's somebody in here that's being a little special. Okay, so anyway, we're going to move on before I get too much in trouble here. Okay, Mary and Joseph. So, kind of answered, Bethlehem. I mean, Jerusalem was the capital city. Jerusalem is where it was all happening. I mean, that's where the rulers were, that's where the buildings were, that's where the people were. Bethlehem. Why Bethlehem? Well, again, it's a prophecy thing in Micah 5:2. It says, but as for you, Bethlehem Ephratah, too little to be among the clans of Judah. From you, one will go forth for me to be the ruler of Israel. His going forth are from long ago, from the days of eternity. So there's a prophecy talking about this, again, this Messiah, this king that is going to be born in not Jerusalem, not in one of the big cities, but in the little city of Bethlehem, which was just probably no bigger than the size of Colfax. Probably quite a bit smaller than the size of Colfax. But it was also the place where Mary and Joseph had to go because they were of the lineage of David. And that's where David was born, was in the city of Bethlehem. And so we have the Mary and Joseph, these obscure two people who don't stop in Jerusalem, but they go to Bethlehem to have this child because that's where they had to be registered. Now perhaps one of the most bizarre parts of the whole story, and we find that in Luke chapter 2, verse 7. I just want to read that again for you. It says, and she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. A manger. Not a crib, not a bed, but a manger. Jesus was born in a stable or a barn. However you want to look at it. A stable or a barn. Why in the world would the King of Kings, the eternal King, be born in a stable or in a barn? Why did God choose to do that? Now, that's a question that I really can't find scripture. It's not a prophecy that he was going to be born in a barn. But, you know, there's a passage of scripture in the book of Hebrews that I really like, and I think it really answers, it talks of this question about why Jesus was born in such a lowly place as a barn. In Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 through 16, the author of Hebrews writes this for us. He goes, therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast to our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things, even as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in a time of need. Now you're going to say, okay, how did those two tie together? Well, the author of Hebrews is talking about we have Jesus Christ, the great high priest, who knows all about our problems. And part of the reason he does know that is because he was born in a barn. Most of us here were not born in a barn. Now, I did mention this once. Someone, I don't know if they're here today, but they were born in a car. I don't know. Who's the one that's born in the car? Are you here today? No, guess not. But anyway, someone said, I was born in a car. Said, well, she had planned it better. You know, but I guess when you're being born, you don't plan those things. But we look at that, and Jesus didn't have any privileges. He wasn't born in a palace. He didn't have servants. He didn't have a nanny. He didn't have anyone taking care of him. He knew what it was to be poor. He knew what it was to be the son of a carpenter. He knew what it was to be from an area that was not prestigious. He knew all those things. So he knows what we're going through. He didn't give himself any special privileges that we don't have. And I look at that and I just think, yeah, you know, that makes a lot of sense. Then as the story goes in Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 8, it says, and in the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields, keeping watch over the flocks by night. And the angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel of the Lord said, "Do not fear, for behold, I bring you great news of, good news of great joy, which will be for all people. For today in the city of David there is born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign. You will find the babe wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." Now I look at this, you have the Son of God, the Messiah, born of Mary and Joseph in Bethlehem, in a barn or in a stable, and God invites who to the party? He invites shepherds. He invites shepherds. Now, I'm not knocking shepherds. You know, they're important. They had their job. But shepherds were probably one of the lowest of the social society for the Jews. Shepherds were down because they had to deal with sheep. And anyone who has dealt with sheep knows they're about the messiest, smelliest, stupidest animals that there are in earth. Sheep, they're totally helpless. You know, I mean, they'll fall in a ditch and they'll just lay there and die. Because I guess they don't know how to get out. So shepherds had to deal, they had to be with their sheep all the time. So they didn't have the ability to bathe and to be clean and to be prepared for religious ceremonies and that type of thing. So they were kind of the lowest class people. And here God sends an angel and a group of angels to talk to them and to tell them that Jesus Christ is born. And I think, wow. Well, it's a good thing that he was born in a barn, because otherwise the shepherds would not have been able to go and see him. They would have not been allowed in a palace. Probably wouldn't even been allowed in a house to go see Jesus. But because he was born where he was, all people had access to him. Anyone who wanted to see Jesus, the Messiah, the Emmanuel, God with us, could go and see him. And so the shepherds were invited. But not only were the shepherds invited, let's go to Luke 2, 15 through 20. It says, "When the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, 'Let us go straight to Bethlehem then, and see this thing which had happened, which the Lord hath made known to us.' So they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the babe as he lied in a manger. When they had seen this, they made known a statement which had been told them about the Christ. And all who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. The shepherds went back, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen." You know, it's interesting. Why did God invite the shepherds? Well, I think he's trying to tell us that everyone can come to know who Jesus Christ is, but also the shepherds went. Now, was this the first invitation to come to see Jesus Christ? Actually, through prophecy, they should have known what was happening. The elites, the religious people of the time, they should have known what was going on. And yet, they didn't choose to come and to find Jesus Christ. And yet, you know, it was interesting because I looked at this and it kind of struck me. And it says that the shepherds told them what had happened, and all who heard. I stopped to think about that. Who was there? You know, I think there were more people than Mary and Joseph and Jesus at the time. And I don't think he's talking about the animals, which were probably there. But I think other people had wandered in, because this was such an accessible place, because Jesus Christ is totally accessible to us today. He invites us to come and to see him, and it doesn't make any difference who you are, whether you're a shepherd or whether you're a wise man or whether you're a rich or poor. It makes no difference. We are called today to see Jesus Christ. Now, there was another group of people who came to visit Jesus Christ. Now, by the time they came to visit, Jesus was no longer in a barn. He was in a house. This was probably a year or two later that they finally arrived, and it was a group of men that were called wise men or magi, and tradition says there are three of them, but we have no clue. That's just the gifts they brought. So there could have been more, there could have been less, we don't know. But in Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, we read this. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea in the days of Herod the king, magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who was born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." Well, so God did call someone else. He called people from a foreign country to come. Now, this is so interesting because Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem. It was just a short jaunt from Jerusalem. And all this time, no one came to see Jesus Christ, except the shepherds and probably odds and ends, other people. Because we know that Jesus was taken to the temple and he was following all the things that the Jews were supposed to go through for a baby being born. But Jesus invited through the vision of a star, and we're not sure all about that, how that happened, how they knew, we're not sure. It could have been in reference to Numbers chapter 24, verse 17, and I'm not going to read that, but it mentions a star, and so that we really don't know how they knew what was going on. There's all kinds of theories out there, and I'm not going to knock any of them. It's just, we really don't know how that happened. But they came to see Jesus Christ, and they were being led by a star. The angels had, the shepherds had angels telling them. The wise men had star telling them and leading them. And then in Matthew chapter 2, verses 9 through 12, it says, they had come and they inquired about Jesus, and they stopped, of course, in Jerusalem, where they would have figured he would be. But they visited with Herod and with the religious elite at that time. But it's interesting that guess who goes to Bethlehem to see where Jesus Christ, who Jesus Christ is? It's just the Magi. No one else goes. This is after hearing the king. They went on their way, and the star which they had seen in the east went on before them until it came and stood over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. After coming into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell to the ground and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they presented to him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned by God in a dream not to return to Herod, the Magi left for their own country by another way. We look at this story, and yes, it is a strange little story. It is. It would seem somewhat bizarre to someone who doesn't really stop and think it out. But when you think about it, it's not a strange little story. It's a great little story. Because in the story of Jesus Christ coming to this earth, being born here, God is showing to us that we all have access to him. We all have access to Jesus Christ. He is available to us to go and see him, to come and know him, to be part of his family, to accept him as Lord and Savior. You don't have to be anything special. People from shepherds to magi who were wise men or college professors, or some even say kings. We don't know exactly who these guys were, but sort of from the bottom of the heap to the top of the heap, they were all invited to come. The thing that is so special about the shepherds and the magi is they are the ones that came. But what about you? You know, this is Christmas. We're talking about Jesus Christ, and you've heard the story. I'm sure most of you heard it many times. But have you ever come to Jesus Christ? Have you ever come to him and accepted him as the Messiah, and accepted him as the Lord Jesus Christ, God with us, the one who took the payment for our sins upon himself. Have you come to know him? Or do you just celebrate Christmas because it's a great time of year? Well, I hope through the message that the kids have brought to you and the message of the Christmas story that through this Christmas season it will become more than just a great holiday. That it will become the time when you come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the children, for the message of their lips, for your word, for the precious story, Lord, that really shows us that we are all invited to come and to know Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that for each and every one of us here this morning, as we go through this Christmas season, Lord, may we think about Jesus Christ, and may we think truly about how we come to meet Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Father, if there are those here who haven't, through the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord, draw them to you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.